We're now going to have our Bible reading. Boys and girls, you can look at the screen, all right? You don't need to pick up a Bible, but adults, probably helps if you pick up the Bible so you can see that it's there, but the words will be on the screen as well. Luke 22, verses 39 to 71. Now, boys and girls, it's quite a long reading, all right? So I want you to be looking at the screen and concentrating, because it tells us what happened to the Lord Jesus before he went to die on the cross. And so it's really important to know these things, and so follow the story as I read it to you. Is that all right? So I'm going to turn around, I'm going to go down so I don't block your view, and you follow as we read. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation." While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance, but when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it.
"Woman, I don't know him," he said.
A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them."
"Man, I'm not," Peter replied.
About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hit you?" And they said many other insulting things to him. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Christ," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You are right in saying, I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips." And that is our Bible reading this morning. As you sit down, I'd ask the adults, please, to have your Bible open again at Luke chapter 22. But boys and girls, you need to have your eyes here. So you give me your eyes. Come on, give me your eyes. Give me your eyes. Give me your ears. Give me your ears. And will you give me your brains as well? Because we want to learn all that God has to say to us this morning in his word, the Bible. And as we start today, I want you to think of this phrase. I want you to think about what it means to be the odd one out. Do you know what it means to be the odd one out? It's what happens on World Book Day at school, where everyone else turns up dressed as a character and mum sends you to school in your school uniform. That means you are the odd one out. You stand out from the crowd. Now, let's just make sure you understand this. I've got some pictures here for you. And you tell me, what is the odd one out? All right? So in this picture of sheep, which is the odd one out? Ollie? The black sheep is the odd one out because all the rest are white. Okay? Here's some apples. Which is the odd one out of these apples? Yes? The red one, because all the others are green. You're getting the idea. All right? Here's another one. Which is the odd one out? Yes? The yellow smiley face rather than the grey sad faces. That's right. And one last one. These ducks. Which is the odd one out? Yes? The blue duck. I've never seen a blue duck, have you? The blue duck is the odd one out. As we read the Bible, we discover that the Lord Jesus is the odd one out. And one of the reasons why the Lord Jesus stood out from the crowd as different from everyone else was because of eight words which we read in our reading this morning. Do you remember what we read? We read how, as usual, the Lord Jesus went to a place called the Mount of Olives. And his disciples, they followed him. And on reaching the place, do you remember what the Lord Jesus told the disciples to do? Does anyone remember what he told them to do? Yes? That's right. He said you should pray so that you don't fall into temptation. And then we're told that Jesus went a stone's throw away. Now, if I had a stone, I might throw it, and maybe it would go over there nearer the door. So the disciples perhaps were here, and the Lord Jesus went a little way away. And what did the Lord Jesus do? He prayed. And we read what he prayed to God his Father. Look what he prayed. He prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Now, it's those eight words that I want us to learn this morning. So I'm going to put them up here. Will you say them as I put them up? I didn't hear that very well. I'm very slow at putting the washing out. Oh, someone was in advance. That was good. You just have to be patient with me. Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I know I'm slow. Right, let's try it all together, shall we? Eight words. 8 very, very important words. Can I tell you why they're important? Because these words sum up how God wants all of us to live our lives. These are words that God wants us to say to him every single day. Now, I want you to think about a cup. So here I have 3 cups, all right? You see these 3 cups? And in each of these cups, I'm going to put something. 1, 2, 3. Now, can I have 3 volunteers? 3 volunteers, let's see. All right, I'll have Olivia. No. Angela, I'm sorry. I'll have Toby. And I'll have Abby. Okay, right, okay. Now, all right, you want to come up? That's good. Now, in each of these cups, I put something that I want you to do, all right? And in a minute, what I'm going to do is, one at a time, I'm going to put the cup in your hand, okay? But as I put the cup in your hand, you've got to say something, all right? I'm going to change this just for a minute. This is what you've got to say. Would you look over there? You've got to say, not my will, but Johnny's will be done. Can you say that? We'll try again. Can you say that? Say, not my will, but Johnny's will be done. All right. Well, when I put the cup in your hand, that's what you've got to say. So, Olivia. Angela. I'm sorry. Miss Ansbury. I'm going to put that cup in your hand. What are you going to say?
Not my will, but Johnny's will be done.
Right. Now you can open the scroll. Okay. Let's open the little scroll. And can you read out, nice and loud, what it says?
Go to the back row and shake someone's hand.
Now, what did you just say? You said, not my will, but Johnny's will be done. So Johnny's will is you go to the back row and shake somebody's hand. Will you go and do that? Very good. Keep saying, not my will, but Johnny's will be done. Excellent. Well done. Right, there you are. Angela did it. You can sit down, Angela. Right. Abby, what do you have to say?
Not my will, but Johnny's will be done.
Okay, so you want to open the scroll? There you go. Let's open it up, shall we? Now, can you read this out in a nice, big, loud voice?
Go to the...
biscuit plate.
Biscuit plate.
Take a biscuit.
Take a biscuit.
And eat it.
And eat
it. What are you supposed to say? Not... Right, off you go, over there, go on, if you want to, that's great, well done. Okay, that was quite a good one, wasn't it? Getting a biscuit. Well done, Abby. Right, Toby. Toby, what are you going to say to me?
Not my will, but Johnny's will be done.
Okay, would you like to open this? Remember, what did you just say to me?
Not my will, but Johnny's will be done.
Are you sure?
No.
Okay, that's fine. Well, let's open up. And what does it say you've got to do? Come on, read it out loud.
Go to your mummy and give her a big kiss.
What did you say? Right, what are you going to do?
Not my will, but Johnny's will.
Okay, off you go. Go on then. Oh. Right, you got the idea. Now, more seriously, here's another cup. Imagine that this is the cup that God puts in my hand. So let's get rid of my name because it's not really important doing what I want. But it is important doing what God wants. And God puts a cup in my hand because what I should be saying in my life is not my will, but God's will be done. Would someone like to come and open one of these scrolls and see what it is that God says that I should do and actually that we should all do? Yes, do you want to come out? That's good. And somehow, there's no biscuits, I can assure you. And do you want to come as well? Okay. So this is the cup that God puts in my hand and actually puts in the hand of every human being. Do you want to open that one? You need to speak really loud, okay? Your loudest possible voice. What does it say?
Love God with all your heart. Love others as you love yourself.
Love God with all your heart. Thank you. You can go and sit down now. Love God with all your heart and love others as you love yourself. Now that is the cup that God puts into all of our hands. And what does God want to say? You can stay there at the moment. What does God want us to say? God wants us to say, can you say it? That's what God wants us to say, because God wants me to say to him, God, I want to love you more than anybody else. And I want to love others as you love me, as I love myself. It means that I need to say yes to God's will, and no to my own will. But what does that really mean? Well, as we read the Bible, we discover some of the things that it means. Now, can you read this out nice and loud? Here's some of the things it means. We'll go one at a time, all right? What does the first one say?
Honor your mum and dad.
Honor mum and dad. That is God's will for us. Another one?
Don't tell lies.
Don't tell lies. That's what God wants us to do or not do.
Don't steal.
Don't steal. Don't take things that don't belong to you. And don't hate. These are things that God says are his will. You can go and sit down now. They are part of loving God and loving others. And so as we come to church, as we read the Bible, what should we be saying to God? We should be saying, not my will, but your will be done. So whether it's at church or at kids' clubs or at home as we read the Bible, that is what God wants us to be saying to him all the time. But hang on a minute. Is that how we live our lives? Is that how I've lived my life this week? Is that how you've lived your life this week? Do you know what's really sad to discover? It's sad to discover that what we all naturally do, is that the you? What we all naturally do is this. We swap these words around. So we actually tend to say to God, and the way we live shows we're saying it, we say, not your will, but my will be done. That's what the Bible means when it says that we are sinners. As sinners, we don't do things the way around God wants us to. We say it's what I want to do that's more important than what God wants me to do. Now, we don't always put it in words, but it's the way that we live. We read in our reading out about a man called Judas. Did you hear about a man called Judas? Judas was one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus. Judas had heard the Lord Jesus teach what it means to love God and to love others. But instead of saying to God, not my will, but your will be done, what did Judas say? Judas said, not your will, but my will be done. How do I know that? Because we read how that Judas, in the bit before we read, that he'd gone to the people who hated Jesus, and for money he'd agreed to betray Jesus to them. And then we read how he went to Jesus in that place where he was praying, and he went up to him and he was going to give him a kiss because that would be a sign to the people who hated Jesus that they could arrest him. And Judas, in doing that, was showing that he was saying, not your will, but my will be done. Now, can I ask you, what about you? You see, think about these things that God says are his will. Honor mum and dad. Whenever we don't honor our mum and dad, perhaps refuse to do what they tell them to do, what are we saying? We're actually saying to God, not your will, but my will be done. Whenever we tell a lie, whenever we don't tell the truth, what are we saying to God? We're saying, not your will, but my will be done. It's the same when we steal, when we take things that don't belong to us. It's the same when we hate someone or do something hateful and horrible towards someone. We're saying to God, not your will, but my will be done. And this is where we need to think about the Lord Jesus. Because the Lord Jesus is the... He Can you say that again? The Lord Jesus is the odd one out. The Lord Jesus is the odd one out because in his life, the Lord Jesus perfectly, every single day, without exception, the Lord Jesus always lived his life saying to God the Father, not my will, but your will be done. Here's another cup. Whose cup do you think this is? It's meant to represent. Whose cup do you think this represents? Have a guess. Toby? No, not us. The odd one out cup. The cup that God the Father put into the hands of the Lord Jesus. You'll see that it's stuffed full of things that God the Father wanted Jesus to do. I have to tell you that some of the things in this cup are not very nice at all. Shall I tell you what they were? Let's open the first one. Part of the cup that God the Father put in the hands of the Lord Jesus, and we read about it, was that he would be betrayed. Then another thing in his cup was that he would be arrested by the soldiers, and they took him away. And then it was part of the cup that was in the hands of the Lord Jesus, which meant that he was going to be mocked. That is, he was going to be made fun of. But not only was he going to be mocked, we also read in our Bible passage this morning that he was also going to be beaten. To be beaten is to be hit. And then we read that he was also going to be, would you like to see the next one? He was also going to be blindfolded as he was hit. And also, he was going to be insulted. I got it the wrong way around. He was going to be insulted. And then eventually, he was going to be led away and he was going to be killed on a cross. Was there anything nice about the things that were in the cup that God the Father was putting in the hands of the Lord? Do you think they were nice things? They were horrible, horrible things. But will you look again at the screen? What did Jesus say to God the Father? He said, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. But then what did he say? Can you say it out loud? Not my will, but your will be done. And the Bible is teaching us that where we have all failed to live as God wants us to live, the Lord Jesus succeeded. And how is it possible for the Lord Jesus to succeed? Well, we read about that as well. Because what did the Lord Jesus do on that Mount of Olives? What did he do that the disciples didn't do? What did Jesus do? Yes, he prayed, didn't he? And we read in the Bible that as the Lord Jesus prayed, look what happened. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. God the Father sent help from heaven in order that the Lord Jesus might go through with all the things that God the Father had put in his cup. But what did the disciples do? What did the disciples do when Jesus said they should be praying? Do you remember what they did? I'll give you a clue. Yes? They fell asleep, didn't they? They fell asleep. And it showed that they didn't have the strength, because then when the soldiers came and the Lord Jesus had told them that all these nasty things were going to happen to them, they tried to fight against it. One of Jesus' disciples, he took out his sword and he cut off the ear of one of the servants of the chief priest. And Jesus said, put your sword away. And he touched the man's ear and he healed the man's ear. And then we read about Peter, didn't we? Did you remember what we read about Peter? God's will is that we always tell the truth. But what did Peter do? He told lies. Because three times Peter was asked, you're one of Jesus' disciples, aren't you? And what did Peter say? What did he say? He said, no, didn't he say, no, I'm not, no, I'm not, no, I'm not. And as he said it the third time, the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered that Jesus had said that before the cock crowed three times, he would deny him. Clothed, he would deny him three times. And why didn't Peter have the strength to do what God wanted him to do? Because he hadn't prayed. And the reason why you and I so often get it the wrong way around, what do we so often say? We often say, not your will, but my will be done. The reason why we get it the wrong way around is that we don't pray. We don't realize that the only way in which we can live the way God wants us to live is by relying upon God and not on ourselves. But Jesus is the odd one out. Jesus prayed, and Jesus was able to do everything that God the Father put in his cup. So what happened to Jesus? Well, just as we thought about a moment ago, he was betrayed by Judas, wasn't he? Judas came up to him to kiss him in order to hand him over to the soldiers. And then the Lord Jesus was arrested by those soldiers, and that must have been a horrible thing. They probably pulled him. Maybe they tied him up. And they led him away. And then what did they do? They beat him. They hit him. They probably got a stick a bit like this and they whacked him. Sorry. And not only did they whack him, they also put a blindfold around him and hit him while he had the blindfold. And then they said to him, "Tell us who hit you." They weren't very nice, were they? They were insulting him. And then he was led away to die on the cross. But here's the wonderful thing. The Lord Jesus said to God the Father, can we say it again? Not my will, but your will be done. He said yes to all that God the Father had put in his cup because he knew that through dying on the cross, he was going to take the punishment that I deserve for all the ways in my life that I have said to God, not your will, but my will be done. You see, I deserve to be punished for not living the way God says we should live. But the Lord Jesus, who always did what God the Father said, he took the punishment I deserve so that as I trust in him, he forgives me. It's wonderful. He forgives me, and then I can be someone who, depending upon God's strength, learn to live my life saying, see, I have one last cup for you. One last cup. We might describe this as the cup that is put into the hand of every boy and girl, mum or dad, grown up, who puts their trust in the Lord Jesus. Who comes to the Lord Jesus and says, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry that I haven't lived saying not my will, but your will be done. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came into the world, you lived as I haven't lived, and you died in my place so that I could be forgiven. Lord Jesus, I trust you. Lord Jesus, I put my life in your hands. And as we do that, we discover that the Lord Jesus, as it were, puts a cup into our hand. And what the Bible says is that as we trust the Lord Jesus, the cup he puts in our hands tells us this. It tells us that every single day of our lives, there are good things that God has planned in advance for us to do. It's like the cup that he puts in our hands. Now, we don't have strength ourselves to do those things. What do we need to do if we're going to do those things? We need to pray. We need to ask God for strength. We sang earlier, didn't we? God is good to me. God is good to me. He holds my hand. He helps me stand. And then we sang, God is good to me. God is good to me. Although I'm small, and some of us are very small, he hears my call. In other words, as we trust the Lord Jesus, God promises to help us, to strengthen us, so that we can do everything that he wants us to do. Now, if we're those who are saying, as we trust the Lord Jesus, can we say it again? Not my will, but your will be done. Do you know what that will make us? It will make us odd ones out. It will make us different. And sometimes it's hard to be different at school. Sometimes it's hard when no one else is wanting to do what God wants us to do, to be the ones who do it. But as we pray, God our Father, through the Lord Jesus, will give us strength that we need. Sometimes in the cup that God gives us to do, there'll be things that are quite hard. Sometimes in the cup God gives us, changes will come that we find are uncomfortable. And we think, oh, I'd rather that wasn't happening. But we can trust that what God puts in our hands to do is the best thing to do, and that he will give us strength, whatever it is that he calls us to do. So how does God want us to live? Can we say it one more time? God wants us to say to him, not my will, but your will be done. None of us do it naturally. None of us can do it by ourselves. Jesus did it. And he died taking the punishment we deserve because we don't do it. And as we trust in him, he then teaches us how to say this day by day. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the Lord Jesus, your perfect Son. We thank you that he lived his life and went to die on the cross, saying, not my will, but your will be done. Father, forgive us that that is not the way that we, any of us, have always lived our lives. Please forgive us for Jesus' sake. And please, trusting Jesus and relying on your strength, may we learn day by day to say, not my will, but your will be done. Help us in the strength you give to have the courage to live as odd ones out. We ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.